ויהי מקץ שנסיים ימים ופרעו חולם והנה עומד על היאור דת 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 וביום השבת שני כבשים בני שנה תמימים ושני עשרונים סולס מנחה בלולב השמן ונזכו דת 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 ובראשי חודשיכם תקריבו עולה לאדוני פורים בני בקר שניים ויעל אחד כבשים בני שנה שבעה תמימים דת 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 ביום השישי נשיא לבני גד אל יוסף בן דאואל
OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Shabbat, Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh. I should say Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, and Chanukah. We'll talk about that a lot. Don't know how much of the Seder we'll get to. It is Miketz, but it is a three Torah Shabbos, and for some people, that also makes it a three Kugel Shabbos. Since there is a Hasidic minhag in certain sects, and that's one of those Hasidic minhagim that misnagdim can borrow without a problem, to have three different kugels because we read from three Torahs. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 28th day of Kislev, 5775, corresponding to December 10th. Okay, because we don't say Tachanun, we will say Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph, Psalm 121. For those who are not familiar with this tradition that we have on Torah Tidbits Audio, we alternate between Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130, and Kuf Kaf Aleph, depending on whether we say Tachanun or not, that was sort of an arbitrary decision based on the fact that both are generic petitions to God for help. So here is 121. Shir Lama'alot, Esa Einai El Heharim, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai osei shamayim v'aretz. Al yitein lamot raglecha al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha al yad yiminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmoret nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'ad olam. אחינו כל בית ישראל, הנתונים בצרה ובשביה, העומדים בין בים ובין ביבשה, המקום ירחם עליהם, ויוציאם מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה, ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. Let's take care of the opening business a little. The opening music was the introduction to a track which I am about to play, and to get us into the Hanukkah mood. The track is a medley of different songs that relate to battles that the Jews have fought or have been fought on our behalf. You will see that it starts with Elav Arecha ve'Elav Asusim. They use chariots and horses. Vanachnu b'shem Hashem nazkir. We mention God's name and we have him as our ally, provided we remain faithful to him. And that is a theme from the Shabbos Chanukah Haftorah, which ends with the words of Zechariah, Lo b'chayil v'lo v'koach ki im b'ruchi omar Hashem. It's not through military strength that victory will come, but the Spirit of God. That does not mean to say that we don't need an army. We do the best we can with the best army in the world, and planning and strategy and equipment and personnel, and we hope and pray and hopefully behave the way that it will result in the fulfillment of that hope and prayer, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, will be on our side. When he is fighting on our side, we are invincible. So that's the theme of that song. I read the beginning of Parshat Miketz, which mentioned that after 2 years, Paro has his upsetting dreams, and the Sar HaMashkim, the wine steward, who 2 years earlier had been greatly relieved when Yosef interpreted his dream, and it subsequently came true that he was returned to his position in the palace of wine steward, or cup bearer. And Yosef had asked him to remember him to Paro, and it wasn't until 2 years later, when Paro had his distressing dreams, that the Sar HaMashkim pipes in and says, Et chata'ai ani mazkir hayom, my sin I remember this day. We'll talk a little bit more about that if we have the time. The second reading, which had a quick dot, dot, dot in between, because it's really made up of two readings, and that would be the two sentences, the two verses about the Shabbat Musaf, followed by five verses of the Rosh Chodesh Musaf, which we read in the second Torah. In order to work that out, the sixth and seventh Aliyah of Miketz are combined into a single Shishi, so that in the second Torah, the Rosh Chodesh portion, which is a combination of Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh, are read for Shavii, so that the portion of the tribal leader and his gifts to the first dedication of the Mishkan, of the Mizbeach, is read by Yom HaShishi. It will be the sixth day of Chanukah when we read it. And that's the Maftir in the third Torah, followed by the reading in Zechariah Navi of the Haftarah. It's a busy, busy Shabbat. This on top of Hallel, and together with a Musaf, which is expanded to include not just Shabbat, but Rosh Chodesh also. And there's even and the Al Hanisim for Chanukah, and two extra words, because it is a Shana Mu'uberet, a year that has 13 months, two Adars, and that makes this one the longest Shabbat Rosh Chodesh Musaf ever. Last time we had one like that, it was 21 years ago. The next one is coming up much sooner than that, but we don't have to get involved in the statistics. So at this point, I'd like you to listen to the rest of that song that the opener introduced, and it starts right in with the words, enjoy and ponder. We'll be right back. Okay, I decided to use the intro and not just start you with the words. So there you have the whole track. The album, I should tell you, is called Hanero Talalu, Rabbi Chaim Benet, Umakelat Hayiladim. Chaim Benet, or Binet, and a choir of children, a children's choir. And it's a very pleasant Hanukkah album. I don't think it's new, but I enjoy it. I have many, many things about Hanukkah to discuss. I hope to get to at least three major points, and then we'll see what we could add. The first one I've said in the past, and it's applicable to all Hanukkahs. It starts out with a famous question known as the question of the Beit Yosef, which is well known, and it's simply this. As the story of Hanukkah tells us, when they searched for oil to light the menorah, they found a one-day supply. Miraculously, it had not been defiled or open or destroyed. And since they needed 8 days to produce new oil, or an issue of Tuma and Tahara related to the oil, they did the best they could. They lit the one-day supply, and it miraculously lasted 8 days. As the question goes, if they had a one-day supply and it lasted 8 days, then there are 7 days of miracle. Why do we celebrate 8 days of Hanukkah? And there are many, many answers. I have a book called Ner Lemea, which has over 100 attempted answers to the question. Some of them are variations of other answers. Some of them, many of them, come with a refutation of the previous answer and a new answer that's supposed to satisfy the problem. And it almost as if this was taken on by generations of Jews who loved that question, were convinced that 8 days is the right way to go, and they explain it. Just to give you a couple of examples, one opinion says that knowing that they needed the one-day supply to last for 8 days, they divided it into 8 parts, and they lit 1/8 each night, expecting to get a couple of hours. Instead, a miracle occurred, and that 1/8 supply lasted the entire night. And this happened 8 nights in a row, which gives us 8 days of miracle, hence the 8-day holiday of Hanukkah. Now, that's a very neat, nice answer, but it's challenged by saying who gave them the right to put in only 1/8 when all you have is a 1-day supply. You use it. If it's used up, then You're off the hook. You have no culpability for not lighting the lamps of the menorah if you don't have any acceptable oil for the job. That's just to give an example of an answer and a challenge to it. Some say that when the one-day supply was put into the 7 oil cups of the menorah in the Beit HaMikdash, a miracle happened and the pitcher, or flask, whatever, was refilled. Remained full. And that begs the question, because if that's the miracle of the first day, then that goes on for 7 days. But on the 8th day, there's no reason that it should refill because a new supply will be available the following day. You get the problem. It's a 7-day miracle, and it's an 8-day holiday. And there are suggestions that 1 day is for the military victories, and the 7 days is the miracle of the oil. The problem with that is we light oil lamps or candles 8 nights, and Hallel is said for 8 days, and Al Hanisim is said in every davening in Birkat HaMazon, and that refers to the victories. So what's the story here? Now, it goes on and on and on, but I don't want to go there, even though I just did for a considerable amount. Where I want to go is one of the suggestions, and I believe that it is right to the point. The establishment of an eight-day holiday to commemorate the events of Chanukah did not have to match something in the story. It's not as simple as there were 8 days of miracles and therefore there are 8 days of Chanukah. There is no guidelines that our sages have had throughout the generations that requires them to match the number of days to a significant number in the story. In fact, there are one-day holidays, there are seven-day holidays, and there are eight-day holidays, and those are the choices. But eight triggers in one's mind another mitzvah, namely Brit Milah, circumcision. And with that mitzvah, the eight carries a very significant concept. Eight is known as one step beyond nature. Nature is associated with the number seven. Eight represents one step beyond. You can start with the seven Noahide laws, which were considered, if not natural laws, then common sense laws that all people of the world are expected to follow. Whether they do or not is another story. The eighth mitzvah was the first one that was not common sense and logical. It's even counterintuitive. And it was given to Avraham Avinu, and it is the mitzvah of circumcision. The rest of the world was not required circumcision because it is not a common sense, logical command. It is a statement to the Jewish people that we are charged with going beyond the natural way that a person should behave in this world. We have a spiritual destiny, a spiritual fate, a spiritual quest, and that is represented by circumcision on the eighth day. Circumcision was one of the most significant causes with the Greek oppression versus the Jewish people in the land of Israel pre-Chanukah. The Greeks banned many, many practices. The keeping of Shabbat, the study of Torah, the establishment of the calendar, and others. And their goal in all of that was to split the Jews away from Judaism so that they would be able to easily accept the Hellenistic culture and way of life and assimilate within the Greek Empire. The one mitzvah that the Greeks actually philosophically opposed was Brit Milah, circumcision. They did not philosophically oppose Shabbat per se. I just realized that I recorded another 3 minutes plus over the 23-minute halftime. So I'm going to ask you to hold that thought, and we'll be right back with more Torah Tidbits audio for Shabbat Chanukah, which is, as we've said, also Rosh Chodesh and also Parshat Miketz. You are listening to Torah Tidbits audio for Shabbat Miketz, Rosh Chodesh Chanukah. And I had interrupted a sentence. This is the rest of it for another 3.5 minutes. And then I'll continue from the other side. So you're listening to it out of sequence that I recorded it, but in sequence of the way it's supposed to be heard, or something like that. Except that it represented that which keeps the Jewish people separate from the rest of the world. But they didn't have a bone to pick with Shabbat, or with scholarship, or with calendar. They did have a bone to pick with the concept of Brit Milah. They were, what's the right word? I don't know. It escaped me just now. They were opposed in principle to circumcision and considered it mutilation of the body. The body, naturally born the way it is perfect. And it shows up in art and sculpture and sport and is a major factor in Hellenism. Brit Milah, for us, is a spirit, is a physical manifestation of a spiritual challenge, but to the Greeks it was mutilation of the body. In fact, there are people today, not necessarily Greeks, who oppose circumcision for the same reason. But the fact is that our victory against the Yevanim was a victory for Torah, a victory for Shabbat, a victory for the Jewish calendar, a victory for Judaism, but maybe especially so, a victory for Brit Milah. And therefore, men of deep understanding, as we sing in Ma'os Tzur, B'nei Vina Yemei Shmona Kavushir Urnanim. That's why the holiday was established at 8 days. That's why, in a later period, the number of candles varied from night to night to emphasize that 8 is the real meaning of Chanukah, because Brit Milah represents our tenacious adherence to the laws and mitzvot of the Torah, and they are symbolized by Brit Milah and what Brit Milah means. I believe that's why we have 8 days. And you could add that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe God, was sort of pointing that out with the whole 8-day business. Because by itself, this 8-day is not a big deal. People argue like this. If you don't have pure oil, you can use existing oil, even if it's tamei. They didn't want to. They wanted pure oil. And if they wanted pure oil and they had a 1-day supply, then there are many options. But the worst case scenario would be that the menorah would remain unlit until a new supply of oil would come about. There's no big deal in that. There were other things that could have gotten started in the Beit HaMikdash, and if they waited through the Greek oppression, they could wait a little bit more. They didn't want to wait, and they were rewarded with an 8-day miracle, which I believe pointed Chazal, our sages, in the direction of emphasizing the number 8 over and over. How about another track from Chaim Binet's Hanero Talalu, the title song, Hanero Talalu.
Thank you.
Second point. Let's hope we get to all three of them, but if not, second point. This Shabbat, we have a confluence of Shabbat, Chanukah, and Rosh Chodesh. Now, the fact of the matter is, in a very prosaic, mundane way to put it, an eight-day holiday must contain one Shabbat and occasionally two. So it is a fact of the calendar arrangement. We don't need more than that, but that would make it Shabbat and Chanukah. It doesn't make it Shabbat Chanukah. The second fact of the calendar is that when a holiday begins on the 25th of a Jewish month, as Chanukah and only Chanukah does, it will have Rosh Chodesh within it. 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29 belong to Kislev. This year, not always, but this year Kislev has a 30th day, which is shared as the 30th day of Kislev and the first day of 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Tevet, followed by the first of Tevet, which is the second day of Rosh Chodesh Tevet. So it is a necessity of the calendar that there be a Rosh Chodesh during Chanukah by virtue of the fact that it begins on the 25th of the month. As such, it would be Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah. And when Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbat, it would be, which happens every so often, it would be Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh. But the fact of the matter is that Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh not only belong with each other whenever that happens, but they belong to Chanukah as well. Because, as I mentioned before, Brit Milah was a particular major point in the Greek oppression against the Jewish people. Shabbat, not less so. And the Jewish calendar, not less so. In other words, by celebrating this year, doesn't happen every year, but by celebrating Shabbat Chanukah, which we have every year, as I said, sometimes two, on Rosh Chodesh, we have Shabbat Chanukah Rosh Chodesh, that borrows the Shabbat, which is there anyway, borrows Rosh Chodesh, which is there anyway, and adds it to the celebration of Chanukah, to the cause of what to be thankful to God about, to the cause of announcing to the Greeks of the world and to the nations of the world throughout our history up to this very day, that we will defend our right to observe Shabbat, to observe a Jewish calendar filled with holidays that have meaning to us, to observe Torah and mitzvot, no matter how much the rest of the world wants to take us away from it. So this Shabbat, whether you have three kugels or not, this Shabbat, when you hear Torah reading, it's not a second Torah that we are going to read from because it's Shabbat and also Rosh Chodesh. It has more than that. It is a positive aspect of Chanukah. And as I say again, don't get me wrong on this, most years there is a Rosh Chodesh and a Shabbat on Chanukah, but not coinciding. This time we have all three. It's not a rare occurrence. It happens 28% of the time on average. But whenever it occurs, and however many years are in between one occurrence and the other, we look at it with fresh eyes and a fresh mind and a fresh heart, and we see the Chanukah story intensified by the fact that there is a Shabbat Rosh Chodesh Chanukah. I think we could go for another Hanukkah song. This one is from an album put out by Galpaz called Al Hanisim, Meitav Shirei Chanukah. It's a well-known version of Yevanim, Nikbetzu Alai, which is one of the stanzas of Ma'os Tzur, and then we'll finish up with the last point for Hanukkah.
יברים יברים נקבצו עליי הזי בימי חשמלים ופרצו חומות מגדליי ותימו כל השמנים יברים יברים נקבצו עליי הזי בימי חשמלים ופרצו חומות מגדליי ותימו כל השמנים ומינות ארגנטיים נסרס השושה
Correction, it's by no means the last word on Hanukkah, but it's the one that I am choosing to finish off the show. If I go shorter than the time allotted, I will add some other ideas. But this one goes like this. The Rambam puts the laws of Hanukkah together with the laws of Purim into what is called Hilchot Megillah v'Chanukah. It has four chapters. The first two are about Purim, and the second two are about Hanukkah. He finishes his book called Sefer Zmanim, which started with Shabbat and went all the way through all of the holidays and then some. And it ends with Hanukkah. The chapter that begins the laws of Hanukkah in the Rambam is atypical because it starts out with an introduction to Hanukkah. In most other areas of Rambam Mishnah Torah, Yad Chazakah, he plunges right into the mitzvot and does not have any words of introduction. It's not unique, but it's rare. And what he says there is at the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, spoke about Greek oppression and how heavy it was, and then God's mercy in bringing about miracles that resulted in victory of the Chashmonaim and a rededication of the Beit HaMikdash. And, he says, it returned Jewish sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael for more than 200 years until the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. The fact of the matter is that we did have kings sitting on the throne of Israel during this period from the Hanukkah story till Churban Beit HaMikdash, Hasheni, but we were not autonomous for most of that time. According to the histories that I've checked, there was a period of 26 years. That's it. 26 years after the Hanukkah story, that Jews ruled without being under the thumb of a foreign power. After that period, Rome started to insert itself and had an ever-increasing effect on ruling the country, which resulted in the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash 180 years after Rome started playing around. Now, 26 years of sovereignty was not at all in the "and they lived happily ever after" style of end of a story. In fact, the Beit HaMikdash was rededicated and functioned, but the fighting against the Yevanim continued throughout that period. And I imagine the friction, tension between the Mityavnim, the Hellenized Jews, who said, "What'd you give us all this headache and trouble for? We like it like this." And the Torah traditional Jews, who were the ones who fought against the Greek oppression. So it was not a happy period and a picnic time. There were kings who sat on the throne during the Hasmonean era who were vicious murderers, including this one killing his father-in-law and his mother-in-law and his brother-in-law in order to get into power, culling favor with the Syrians, culling favor here and there. And it was not at all a very pretty picture. On the one hand, that's kind of depressing. On the other hand, you say, wait a minute. We have an 8-day holiday called Chanukah that celebrates, that thanks God for miracles, that is not tarnished or diminished by the facts on the ground that followed the Chanukah story. And then you start to think, and you realize that even from the Torah, we have Shavuot, which is Zman Matan Toratenu, the festival of the receiving of the Torah, and 40 days after we received the Torah, we had the fiasco of the golden calf. And that did not say, okay, we won't have Shavuot anymore. We have Shavuot because our reasons for joy and our reasons for doing mitzvot, aside from the main reason this is what we are commanded to do, those mitzvot mark events which are worthy of thanking God for and rejoicing, notwithstanding what happened shortly thereafter. And this all brings to my mind the state of Israel in our time. Yom Ha'atzma'ut is a holiday that was declared by the rabbinate in Israel and the Knesset to commemorate and to celebrate the establishment of the state of Israel on the 5th of Iyar, 5708. The fact that it plunged us into a war on several fronts with our Arab neighbors, the fact that people have various and sundry complaints about the governments of Israel from the earliest of times, and they did this and they did that, and how could you rejoice and celebrate when this not religious and mostly this and some anti-religious and whatever, should all be beside the point. Ze hayom asa Hashem nagila v'nismecha vo. We say that in Hallel, which means we say that about every day that we say Hallel. So we say it about Chanukah. Ze hayom, this day, these 8 days, asa Hashem, God made them. Nagila v'nismecha vo. We will rejoice and be happy on them, in them. And the same thing goes for the holiday that marks the establishment of the State of Israel. Jewish sovereignty returned to this land so far for 67 plus years. May it continue. With all of its problems, with its Arab neighbors, if the Hashmonaim and the Maccabim continued fighting the Greeks and we continue fighting the Arabs, it should not take away from the joy of the event that is being marked by the holiday. And this, I think, demands our thoughts and our consideration. On that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a Chodesh Tov, Chanukah Sameach, Lehishtameach.